set up for Israel's corporate worship in the tabernacle. And you know, what's wonderful, not really the message, but perhaps part of the introduction, and that is this, that the tabernacle was like a new Eden, where God was bringing back people to dwell with them. Remember what he said, that it would be in that place where he would meet with them and where he would commune with them. So the tabernacle is very key. And Leviticus, of course, as I said, is all about that worship system. And right at the center of the worship of God's people there in that tabernacle was a key individual called the high priest. And the high priest was the first one, was Moses' brother, his brother Aaron, and of course Aaron's sons. And so what we have in Leviticus chapter 8 is the consecration, the setting apart, the significance of Aaron and his sons as the high priesthood of this worship system in which God would bring people into communion and dwell with them. And so with that in mind, obviously, the priest in Israel served a very special place. In fact, it was the priest in Israel that stood between the nation and God. And they were really an elite special corps with special demands upon them. To fill that role, they had to be clean, even physically. Look at this. Look at verse 6 of Leviticus 8. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat and girded him with the girdle, the belt, clothed him with the robe, put the ephod upon him, girded him with that curious girdle of the ephod, that belt that went around the outer ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. Interesting. And then there were sacrifices that had to be made, but I want to call your attention to what took place. If you'll drop down with me the same chapter to verse 22. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took the blood of it. Now look at verse 23. Moses took the blood of this ram, and he put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe, we'd call it the big toe, of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Aaron put the blood upon the tip of the right ear, upon the thumbs of their right hands, upon the great toes of their right feet, and Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. First of all, why the right hand? Why not the left? Why the right ear? Why not the left? So forth and so on. Well, I think because generally speaking, the right hand and the right side of human beings are normally the dominant part in human life. Not always. There's exceptions, obviously. But also, these three parts symbolize something very important in the life of these priests. These truths about these priests really pertain to all the people of Israel as well. Did you know that? Because it says in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, when God is ready to give Israel through Moses what we call the law, what is condensed into the Ten Commandments, he says to Israel, you are a holy nation. You are a holy priesthood. And so what we should understand from that is simply that all Israel all Jewish people in that day were to in some way realize the consecration that is pictured here in this chapter of the priests. But I want to call your attention to a New Testament verse. Are you familiar with 1 Peter chapter 2, where Paul calls these New Covenant believers in 1 Peter 2? He says, you're living stones built up in a spiritual temple, a spiritual house. And he says, you are a royal priesthood. So he applies that to New Covenant believers in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. In other words, believers are a spiritual priesthood, and Peter says you are to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not to physical ones like rams, but you are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. And the blood that is applied to us who are spiritual priests is not the blood of a ram, but the blood of Jesus, right? This blood of the ram symbolized the cleansing of these priests for the work that God called them to. And the blood of Jesus is the cleansing that we take in order to have a life and service for the Lord. And so I'm going to make application from that 23rd verse of the blood that is applied to the ear, to the thumb, and to the toe, to us. Well, let's pray first. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to open your word together. And I thank you that the truth can be applied to us as well. And we ask that you would make it just so applicable to the individual and not just to a group, but Lord, tailor it to each person's heart tonight. You know the need for cleansing. You know, Lord, where we're at spiritually. And if we're believers, we're part of a spiritual priesthood, a royal priesthood. And so I just pray that you would get glory to yourself through our thoughts tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So going back to that 23rd verse, notice it says that he took the blood of this ram, and first of all, he put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear. Our ears, they're, of course, the instrument that God gave us that enables us to hear. The ear, with the blood applied to it, is symbolic. The priest's ear being separated to God. In fact, the Hebrew phrase for obedience in the Bible literally means to hearken to the voice of God. And if the priest is to be of service to God, he needs to first of all have his ear consecrated to the Lord. He needs to be able to discern God's voice in the midst of a noisy life all around him so that he can obey it. Well, we live in a noisy world, don't we? I mean, there's a lot of distraction. There's a lot of commotion going on. But amid the many voices that are calling for our attention, I wonder, are you specifically listening to God's voice? Are you listening for God's voice? Do you know how to hear God's voice? I'm wondering if you're careful to obey and to follow God's plan, God's will. I wonder, where do you go for your wisdom? What's the source of your wisdom? Whose plan are you following currently? Whose plan really is it? Do you need to have your ear cleansed? Do you need the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus so that you can hear him and hear him properly? The consecration, first of all, of the ear, the setting apart of our hearing to God. Then notice, secondly, it says in that 23rd verse, he also took the blood and he put it upon the thumb of Aaron's right hand, put it upon his thumb on his right hand. You know, without a thumb, without thumbs, we wouldn't be able to do half of the things that we do. We open things with our thumb. We turn handles with our thumb. We're able to hold things securely because we have a thumb. It's our thumb that enables our hands to be able to work. It's our thumbs that enable us to be able to grasp things and hold on to things. Simply put, God wants to be in control of what you do. God wants to be in control of your work. God wants to be in control of what you grasp and what you hold, of what you value, of what you possess. And I guess one of the questions we should ask ourselves this evening, am I holding on to something too tightly that perhaps God wants to remove from my grip? You see, in Israel, the priest, interestingly enough, when they got into that land that God promised them, the priest was not given a land to inherit. The priests had no land when it was divided up, because the Bible says that God was to be their portion. And so the priest's hands were made to hold only what was holy, only what was clean. They couldn't serve the Lord in the tabernacle if their hands were not cleansed. And so that blood on the tip of the right thumb is just a picture of God's cleansing and God's consecration of these priests for the work of the Lord and for what they were grasping onto. Are you holding on to things that believers shouldn't have? Are there things in your possession that perhaps you shouldn't even have? What's your most valuable possession? Is it the Lord? I think it's Hebrews 13 that says that we should live without covetousness, without greed, without want. We should let our lifestyle be without covetousness. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If I can just boil that down, it's basically this: be content having Jesus. Are you? Are you and I content just to have a grasp on Jesus? What's in your hand? Is it perhaps needful tonight that your hand be cleansed? The blood was put upon the right thumb of the high priest. And then look again at verse 23. It says, and upon the great toe of his right foot. The blood applied to the toe. The toe, the big toe. The big toes are an important part of our ability to walk properly. Did you know that our big toe carries 40 to 60% of our weight, our body weight? So it affects the way we walk. It gives us balance. It gives our arches stability. They act as shock absorbers as well. And so the priest's life was to be an example to Israel. One of the things that the book of Malachi is all about is the terrible condition of the priesthood. And it really is upsetting to God. And I just meant to have this referenced, but I wanted to just read this to you. I think it's in the second chapter of Malachi. And if I'm not mistaken, it is around verse 6, I think. And it's talking about the priests and how they had just walked away from the Lord. Here's what God says to the priest. To the priesthood in the book of Malachi. You know, I have sent commandments and I've made my covenant with Levi. That's the line that the priests were in. My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. But ye are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. He's talking about the priesthood in those days. God wants to be over where you go. God wants to be in control of how you live. The biblical term for the Christian life is, it's a walk. It is a walk. Enoch is said to have walked with God. He's the first person in the Bible that we are told that about. He walked with God. Noah was a man that the Bible says walked with God. Abraham was told by God in chapter 17, walk before me. The New Testament has a lot to say about how believers are to walk. We're told in 1 John 2:6 that we are to walk even as Christ walked. In Ephesians 4, we are to walk worthy. We are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We're to walk worthy of this Christian life. In 1 John 1:7, we are to walk in the light, that is, not in darkness. We're to walk in a right relationship with the Lord. We're to walk in fellowship with him. That's what it means to walk in the light. And he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our big toe spiritually. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. And if you do so, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The psalmist says, Lord, teach me thy way. Why? So he can walk in it. Do you need your walk cleansed? You need that blood applied to the great toe, like pictured here? Again, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says that believers are a holy priesthood. We are priests unto the Lord that are offering unto him acceptable sacrifices. Sacrifices that are acceptable to the Lord. What are they? Well, listening, a life that listens to God's voice. That's a sacrifice acceptable. A life that listens to God's voice and obeys. A life that grasps after nothing but God and his will. A life that walks in all of God's ways. Now, the Lord made available the blood, not of a ram, but of the Lord himself, Lord Jesus, to cleanse you. And then the Holy Spirit, he brings your ears, your hands, your feet into harmony with his will. There's an interesting illustration of this in John chapter 13. It's the last few hours that Jesus has with his disciples before he heads out into the Garden of Gethsemane, is arrested, and then tried and hung on the cross. Well, in that 13th chapter, the last few hours with the 12, and it's Passover, and they finish their dinner. Usually, when you went in that culture to a dinner, the first thing that would happen would be some slave would come and would first of all wash your dusty feet because they wore sandals. And your feet would be washed by a slave. And then, of course, there'd be a hand washing ceremony as well. And that would prepare you to partake of the Passover meal. But here, the supper has ended. The Passover meal has already been eaten. Jesus is emphasizing something vitally important. You know what he does? He gets up after the meal and he takes off his outer coat and he tucks a towel in his waist and he goes around from one disciple to the other on his knees with a basin of water and that towel, and he is individually washing their feet. And guess what? Even Judas was among that group. He hadn't left yet. The betrayer himself, Jesus, washed his feet. But what's so interesting is he gets to Peter's feet. And Peter sees what's happening. And he says, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet, are you? This isn't right." And then the Lord says something to this effect. "Well, Peter, you know, what I do now, you don't understand, but you'll understand later." And Peter just blurts out. He says, "You're never going to wash my feet. Never." Says never twice. Now, Jesus is kneeling before Peter to wash his feet. And Peter says that. And I think the Lord said it very quietly. I think he looked up into Peter's eyes. And here's what he said in John 13:8. He said, "Peter, if I wash thee not, you'll have no part with me." And it was those words that broke Peter's heart. And when that sunk in, Peter didn't refuse. He said, "Lord, don't just wash my feet. Wash me basically from head to toe. Wash my hands, wash my head and my feet." And you know what the Lord said? He said, "Peter, you don't need to be washed from head to toe. You've already been washed." He says, "He that is washed or bathed needs not except to wash his feet." Now, let me explain what Jesus was saying there. What he was saying is Peter was already born again. Peter had already been saved. If you've been saved, you have undergone a spiritual bath. If you've never been saved, you need a spiritual bath. And Jesus is the one that bathes us. And the way that he bathes us is not with water, but in the precious blood that he shed on that cross for you. You need to be plunged into the blood, and that's the bath that will cleanse you, and you'll be born again. You'll become a child of God, a member of his family. Now, have you ever been bathed in the precious blood of Jesus? Have you been saved? If you have, you don't ever need to have that repeated. But what you need to have repeated time and time again is that you let Jesus wash your dirty spiritual feet. Because as we live our lives in this world, we pick up filth on our feet, so to speak, as we walk. And we need to admit the fact that we have dirty feet and that he will cleanse them if we let him do so. And if we don't, even as believers, if we don't, we'll have no part with him. That's what he said. Can you stand that thought? If it doesn't bother you that you would have nothing, that Jesus would have nothing to do with you as far as your life and ministry, then I question whether you really are his child. But if that bothers you, that Jesus would say, "You have no part with me," that's probably an indication that you belong to him. And the simple thing is, let him cleanse. Let him wash your feet. Let him cleanse you. Because he says, again, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. If we confess our sin, believers, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 is feet washing. Jesus does it. It's clean fellowship. That's what I want to get across tonight to us. Are your ears cleansed? Are your hands clean? Are your feet washed?